Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. Today is an awesome day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and His word says that we shall rejoice and be glad no matter what is going on in our lives. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. That song, it says, to God be the glory for all the things that He has done. Good to have an attitude of gratitude. At this time, we'll have our scripture reading.
Our scripture this morning is from Acts 17, 22 to 31. We find Paul in Athens. So Paul stood up in front of the council and said, "People of Athens, I see that you are very religious. As I was going through your city and looking at the things you worship, I found an altar with the words, 'To an unknown God.' You worship this God, but you don't really know him. So I want to tell you about him. This God made the world and everything in it. He is Lord of heaven and earth, and he doesn't live in temples built by human hands. He doesn't need help from anyone. He gives life, breath, and everything else to all people. From one person, God made all nations who live on earth, and he decided when and where every nation would be. God has done all this so that we will look for him and reach out and find him. He isn't far from any of us, and he gives us the power to live, to move, and to be who we are. We are his children, just as some of your poets have said. Since we are God's children, we must not think that he is like an idol made out of gold or silver or stone. He isn't like anything that humans have thought up and made. In the past, God forgave all this because people did not know what they were doing. But now he says that everyone everywhere must turn to him. He has set a day when he will judge the world's people with fairness, and he has chosen the man Jesus to do the judging for him. God has given proof of this to all of us by raising Jesus from death. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, Mary, we're glad that you are back for this anthem. I think you'll like it. This is Wade in the Water.
Water.
That was good. That was really good. Amen. So our scripture reading has been read. Our reading comes from Acts chapter 17, and we're talking about preaching to the masses. This story is a story that I'd like to share with you. There are different ways, and we are doing an evangelism series on this month to empower us as far as our evangelism is concerned. That's one of the things that we wanted to focus on, and I wanted to show you the tactics that Paul uses as far as a missionary strategy. And so when we come to this text, I want to give you a little bit of background on Paul. This text is actually given on Mars Hill. So he says Paul stood up in front of the council. Who is this council? Since they're in Athens, you know that Athens is in Greece. So the council is this place of philosophers and people where you have Aristotle and Socrates and Plato. And these are philosophies that exist in this territory around this concept of polytheism. And so this place that he goes to is polytheistic, which means many, poly meaning many, and theos meaning God. So polytheos meaning many gods. And so they have a god, Hera, and Zeus, and Hades, and the god of the unknown bench. And, you know, they have all of these different gods, the god of the crops, the god of the rain, the god of the mountains. And then they have Walmart and Macy's and the god of this and the god of that. And then they also have this philosophical forum where they debate or defend their philosophies. So Paul actually has to defend his thesis, because when he comes into this territory, there is this normal strategy that when you come, if you are a Jew, the first place that you would go to in an area is to the temple. Let's bring it to real life. If me being a United Methodist pastor, the first place that I would go to would be the United Methodist Church in the area. But because Paul, his name has been changed from Saul of Tarsus, he is now under a certain type of persecution because he's being accused by the people in the area of preaching foreign gods. What ended up happening was Saul of Tarsus, who had gone to college, who had studied under the highest Pharisees and Sadducees, he knew everything about the Old Testament. He knew all of the rules and all of the laws and all of the Torah, all of the things that Moses had passed down, and he was very studied, which is part of the reason why he was persecuting these post-crucifixion Jews. The ones that believed in Jesus, the ones that they called Christians. Many of you may or may not know that Christian was a derogatory term. Those Christians, they were considered heretics. They were considered to go against the laws of Moses and Abraham because of this new way of thinking and this new perception. They were considered bad people. And so at one point, Saul of Tarsus, who knew the Jewish laws and who was also a Roman citizen, was persecuting these Christians. Until one day on the road of Damascus, God slapped the mess out of Saul of Tarsus. Now, I was in a worship service the other night and I yelled out, "It slapped him off of his high horse." And then the pastor responded, said, "No, he slapped him off of his donkey," but he actually used the actual word, slapped him off of his donkey onto his donkey. That's the radio edit version. And actually, Saul wasn't on a beast at all during the Road of Damascus experience. He was actually participating in his regular Jewish prayer ritual thing. When the revelation of Christ came to him and blinded him. And it was at that day that everything that Paul knew, or Saul of Tarsus knew, came to a divine revelation. And when he went to be healed from his blindness, which was not only physical blindness, we don't want to limit it that way, we want to limit it to intellectual and spiritual blindness. He realized that all of his religious practices were simply religion and practices. That some element was missing, and it was something that we like to call relationship. And so while we're talking about preaching to the masses, one of the things that I want to encourage us all as we partake of this road to evangelism and start to cultivate our evangelistic ministries and methods and strategies is that the first thing that you have to have before you can tell anyone else about Jesus Christ or who Jesus Christ is, you have to know him for yourself. You have to have the personal relationship. There has to come a certain point in your life down the Damascus Road experience that God slaps you off of your donkey onto your donkey and reality starts to set in. You have to make sure that you're not on your high horse. Your ego can get in the way of evangelism. So he reaches this place after he's had this transformation, and now the Jews are a little upset with him because at one point he was persecuting these Christians, and now he's taking the knowledge to the Gentiles. He's taking them to people on the outside. If you remember in some of the last parts of the series, I've been telling you about going to the people on the outside. And so these people who are not regularly invited into the synagogue and not regularly invited into religion and not regularly welcome into a place of worship. Now the gospel is now going from the inside to the outside. But you can't go to the outside unless you have a personal relationship with God. And so he comes to this place of Athens and he says, I see that you are very religious. Because Paul himself, when he was Saul of Tarsus, was very religious. And this is not an affirmation to them. It's just letting them know that I understand the culture. Here's one of the things about evangelism. When you go into a territory, you have to understand the culture in which you're going into. And so the next part he says, and it's right here in your reading, as I was going through your city and looking at the things that you worship, in order to change someone's mindset, you first have to meet them where they are. I was going through your city and I noticed some of the things that you do here. And he says, I found an altar with the words to an unknown God. Now, let me tell you about this, because the altar with the inscription to an unknown God and the legend behind its establishment is providing the backdrop for this entire speech. See, the legend had it that there once was a terrible plague in Athens, and the attempts to appease the gods, the polytheistic, and stop the plague was not working. So all of their religious things that they were doing, cutting themselves and burning this on the altar and doing this and doing that, it was not working. And so one of the wise men of the day brought the flock of sheep to the top of Mars Hill and released them. And wherever these sheep stopped, an altar was set up to an anonymous god, and the animal was sacrificed there. This course of action was allegedly effective in the city returning to health. And so Paul is saying, I ran into this altar that you had, and you worship this god, but you really don't know him. Isn't that a terrible thing? To worship a God you don't know. To try to be in some kind of relationship with a God you don't know. There are a lot of people in this world that don't know who God is. Some of you know that I'm a teacher in the city school district, and I work with students on a regular basis, and there is a generation, I don't know if it's out here, but I know definitely in the urban city, there's a generation where if you say, do you know who Jesus is? These kids say, I don't care nothing about Jesus. I don't know nothing about God. Who's God? Not realizing that every time they move and breathe and have their being, that it came from the God of all creation. And so one of the things that Paul does in this missionary journey and in this evangelistic practice is he said, I know that you don't know the God that you're actually serving, so let me tell you about him. Now, can Paul tell them this just from a book? Can I use just my dissertation and my degrees to tell people about God? Sure I can. But it won't be effective if I don't have a life experience with God. Am I making sense? He says, this God, here it is right here in verse 24, may the whole world and everything in it. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. And here's the thing. He doesn't live in a temple built by human hands. He doesn't need help from anyone. He gives life, breath, and everything else to all people. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of person. He doesn't care how much pigment you have in your skin. He doesn't care whether or not you are an X chromosome or a Y chromosome. He gives life and breath to all people. And from one person, God made all the nations to live on earth, and he decided when and where every nation would be. This is this God that you serve that you don't know. Wow. And then Paul tells them, God has done all of this so that we will look for him and reach out to find him. There are a lot of people that believe that God is this Zeus on the top of this mountain in Athens with clouds and thunder all around him. And he sits on a throne with a gray-white beard, and he has these long, huge robes. And he's so far away that we have to say, God, we need you to come down and help us. And Paul is telling them, no, because the scripture affirms that greater is the God that is in us than the God that is all in the world. And so therefore, we don't have to grope around blindly looking for a God that we don't even hardly know. He says, you have to just look right here within yourself, because he gives power for us to live and for us to move and for us to be who we are. In the New King James Version, it says that we can live and move and have our being. And so he takes this from a poetry line. Because one of the things that Paul does here in this evangelism series is he takes the language of the culture and presents the gospel. That's one of the things that we have to do as the people of God, as the people of Christ. We have to take the culture and the language of this generation and be able to articulate effectively the gospel of Christ. And so he says, we are his children, just as some of your poets have said. Since we are God's children, we must not think that he is like an idol made out of gold or silver or stone. He isn't anything that humans have thought up or made. A lot of people take trinkets to keep you in remembrance of who God is and to remind us to pray. But our God cannot be contained in a box. As a matter of fact, there is no box with God. Because the Bible says that our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or that our minds could even think, according to the power that works in us. It doesn't work outside of us. It works in us. Any electricians? Anyone know anything about electricity? You know that there is a conductor, right? There's something like a transformer or a conductor. In order for the lights to work, there's got to be some kind of daisy chain or some kind of hookup so that the current can be split among each one of these lights. That's the same way it can be with our Christianity. God is the source of all things, the power source. But we have to link together in some kind of way in order to illuminate each one of our lights so that the world can see the God that powers us. In the past, people didn't know what they were doing. God forgave all of this, and so we have to let people know that God is a forgiving God. We understand that there are some things that you could not worship God. You didn't know what you were doing, but now that you know, now that we've offered it, now that the lights have been on, now that we've linked together and put our power together, now that you can see, you are accountable for what you see and what you know and what you believe. He says that everyone, everywhere must turn to him. This is the cry of repentance. I hope everybody's getting this. This is for evangelism. We have to call people to repentance, to change their way of thinking. Now that you can see who God is, now that you realize that it's been God working in your life, that every waking morning that God's grace is sufficient for you, that every day that you're able to lift your hands, every day that you're able to put your feet on the floor, whether you realize it's God or not, it's God. So we have to turn to him. Because he has set a day where he will judge the world and people with fairness, and he has chosen the man Jesus to do the judging for him. So regardless of whose testimony is right, Jesus will be the judge. The word of God will judge each and every one of each person to their respective places. So am I the judge? No. Are you the judge? No. God's word will judge. The truth will be the judge. It will judge with fairness. And he has given proof to all of this by raising Jesus from the dead. My challenge this week to you has been the same challenge. I want you to do some self-examining, to bring power, to illuminate, and how you can connect to bring that light to each lamp. Each one of you are a lamp. Because there's a world out here that is dying. There are generations who do not know who God is, and they are worshiping idols, the different things that we give our time to, that we worship. Take that time, find out whatever that is, and rededicate, repent, change your thinking to give God that time. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to stop now. So let's sing "In Our Lives, Lord, Be Glorified." Us all from falling, and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, dominion, majesty, and power, both now and forever. And the people of God said, Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week.
This has been Witnessing with Pastor DJ Robinson for May 21st, 2017. How do we speak up and share our ways of believing with others when there are so many other interpretations and approaches to life? We need to first live our beliefs in order to share them, seek to know God better in order to explain him, and try to understand what others believe and why, to meet them where they are. The gospel of Christ must be articulated in today's language in order to be shared in our current reality.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.